Our topic tonight, of course, we're continuing on the gifts of the Spirit. Our topic is on the gifts of the Spirit, or you can also entitle this topic as the nine ways in which the Holy Ghost manifests Himself, or nine ways the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to use the scripture. Actually, we're going to use a whole portion of scripture verses from 1 Corinthians 12, but let's go verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So we're looking at the word of knowledge tonight, and I want to teach the scriptures and show about the gifts of the Spirit. At this introduction, I want to just mention that the church, or the people of God, individuals in the body of Christ and corporately, we have to possess knowledge of the Word of God in order for the Holy Spirit to operate in and through us individually and corporately. For instance, we have to learn when to give an utterance in the Spirit. We need to know when to release the Spirit, if you're allowed to. Just because you know you should have something doesn't mean you have to get up and do it right then, because you have to understand God works decently in an order. And if I don't get anything, you just have to sit there until the Lord tells me. And He doesn't supersede the pastor of a local church. He respects the pastor. He put that first pastor in. God will never give you something that He wouldn't give me first. That's how He works. And He's not going to supersede a pastor. Even if a prophet came in, he'd have to come through the local pastor, because he's the head of the church in that session. So sometimes people erroneously think that just because they're a pastor or a prophet, they can come and just do whatever they want to do. But God is he's a gentleman. He works decently in an order. And we can see that from the scripture. He doesn't usurp authority. He doesn't press and push and shove. And so we want to look at these gifts. And so if we're going to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of God and understand, we're going to have to know what the gifts are and how He wants to manifest Himself. So Jesus Himself, before He left, He gave us some words before He left to heaven. And He said that He gave us another Helper, another comforter, it says in the King James. He said, I'm going to give you another comforter. And the word helper has sevenfold meaning of that verse of scripture. And if you have the Amplified Bible, it gives you those seven words. And one of them is advocate and comforter and helper, intercessor. And, He'll help you to pray. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 26, it says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Over in Matthew 8:17, that it says, Himself took our infirmities. Jesus took our infirmities. Hallelujah. And bare our sicknesses and diseases. But the Bible says in Romans that the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He also helps our infirmities. Helps our infirmities. The word helpeth in the Greek and the Hebrew, Greek, the word helpeth, Romans 8:26, means to stand with and against. But you don't stand against, He can't stand against, because He's a helper. He's not the leader. He'll help you what you do. Whatever you allow in your life, if you allow the devil to kick you around, well, it's because you lack knowledge. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:6, He says that people die because of lack of knowledge. The church is without information. You can't operate beyond actual knowledge. There's no faith without knowledge. So the Word gives enlightenment or light or revelation. So you can't walk in the revelation or knowledge of God unless you know, unless the Holy Spirit shows you. And so some people don't know, and they don't divide the Word of God. They've never been taught how to divide the Word of God to their lives. particularly if you read the King James, if you're brand new in the Lord, it's hard to understand the King James because the way the wording is, you know, the old language, and we don't talk like that because it's hard to understand with your natural knowledge. But how many people know that the Spirit of God can actually, you know, give you information even if you don't know a lot of stuff? He'll give you what you need to know. That's why don't worry about if you don't understand, if you're reading the King James or the Bible, you don't understand. Just read it, because whatever he put in there is going to come out sooner or later. You don't have to understand everything you read in the Bible. My wife and I, and I'll say this again because people need to hear, we read the Bible every night since 1989. We read the Bible from cover to cover every year, from Genesis to Revelation. She has her Bible, I have my Bible. We sometimes we read together, sometimes I read to her, but most of the time, 99% of the time, we read on our own, but we do it together. That's a good couple right there. Amen. Amen. You know, so you got to be able to do that. And I take a lead in my life. I said, if I don't do it, you know, why should I tell my wife? I mean, I'm the leader in my home. The Word of God says the husband is the head of the home. He's the one that has the home. Now I don't know everything. My wife might know a lot of things than what I know. But God put me the head. And that's how it works. So whatever I have to, sometimes I defer to her. I said, okay, what you want to do? Let's go ahead and go that direction. So you have to work together. Amen? So it's the same with God. You know, he's not going to work by himself. He needs us to cooperate with him. And so we want to look at these gifts. We want to look at the Spirit of God, how he operates among us. So we need to depend on him, the Spirit of God, because he is our helper. And we have to depend on his operation, the way he would operate things, the way he would do things, in other words. And so Jesus said in John 14, 16, 8, and 18, he says, the church, he says in there, he says to us, John chapter 14, 16 and 18, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Ghost is here forever. And don't you ever say, I'm alone. You're not alone. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. Okay, so learn to fellowship with the Spirit of God and talk to him and tell him, just like you would tell your husband or wife your hurts and pains. Tell him about it. Well, you need to do that. So that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He will comfort you in the time if you need your comforting. Now, I'm not only talking about babies. If you're acting like a big baby, you need to wipe some tears and start acting right, right? I mean, everybody gets trouble, so we have to get up. So the church is equipped with gifts of the Spirit, and we should learn how they manifest through us and for us, in order for us to be blessed, in order for us to bless others. Not knowing this vital information will hinder us from being an effective worker for God. We can be an offense to other people by trying to operate these things when we don't know how, trying to cast devils out from people that they're not there, and do things and prophesy when in a way that's not going to be a blessing. You know, prophecy edifies and builds people up, right? I remember one time a lady, you know, she wanted to scold the church. She got up and gave a prophecy, and I was just a brand new pastor, 1 year old in the Lord, and got up and started to lament, berate the people and me and everybody else, and we knew what she was talking to. And if I was now, I'd say, go sit down. You know, but I didn't know any better. And then sometimes you don't know any better, and it's better not to do some things because you And when somebody acts like that, you might as well be kind, because it'll just, you might hurt somebody. So praise God. So I would be kind to you, but I'll tell you, sit down if that happens. So the proposition that I'm making tonight is that the gifts of the Spirit, when they manifest in your life, in my life, they'll always make Jesus Lord. Amen. And they'll always cause liberty and blessing. So if the Holy Spirit manifests himself, although it might frighten you or you never saw that before, but you're going to just say, oh, wow, that was wonderful. That felt good. You're going to always have that. So what is the word of knowledge according to this word? We looked at the scripture here, 1 Corinthians 12:8. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. What is the word of knowledge? As a definition, before we can ever know something, we have to understand what it is and what it's not. And so, the word of knowledge is a supernatural, fragmentary portion of information passed on to us by God through His Spirit concerning events, people, and things. I'll say that again. The word of knowledge is a supernatural, fragmentary portion of information. Not, he's going to give you everything. Is passed on to us by God through His Spirit concerning events, people, and things. It's not profound knowledge that comes through a person who has studied the Bible and knows information about the Bible. Because any one of us can jump up and do that anytime, because we know the Bible and we can just get up and say what we want. Now, you can do that just to exhort. Anybody can exhort. Anybody can get up right now and start exhorting. Get up in your chair and say, yeah, thus said the Lord, I love you, and I'm going to take care of you. Amen. Sit back down. They'll bless somebody. That's prophecy. You know, it's a gift. So you can just get up and do it anytime. But, you know, you can do it while you're worshiping God. Just do it to yourself. Just bless yourself. But if we do it as a group, we could say, come on, who's got a word here? Come on up and give it. And you just jump up. If you feel like you got it, just come up and give it. Now, if you start scolding people and telling people all information, I know how much money you got in your pocket there and what you did, then you're talking about another gift. Okay? So that's a totally different area that you're talking about. And usually God doesn't start reveal things unless there's a real purpose for it for the whole church. So you might want to give that knowledge to somebody personally if that's for somebody else, and that guy can either examine it and judge it according to Scripture and said, okay, yeah, sure, praise God. If they don't want it, then to say, praise God, thank you for that, and just walk away. You don't have to argue. You say, I don't believe that. Well, just say thank you, and you know. So people sometimes don't understand that, so they. You know, for whatever reason. So that word of knowledge is not profound information, knowledge from study, nor is it, you know, is it the experience, person's personal life experience, walking with God, and you know God, you've been walking with God for 40 years, and you try to give a word of knowledge from that. That's not what it is all about, passing your knowledge to somebody else. And so that's not the word knowledge either. So it's not profound knowledge. It's not personal life experience that you're passing on to somebody. So we're going to look at this. No one knows entirely, nobody knows entirely about the gifts of the Spirit. If somebody said, I know everything about the gifts of healing, everything about prophecy, well, they must be like God, because God knows everything. You know, you might know lots, but you might not know. So I don't know everything about it. The people particularly that I look up to, like Kenneth Copeland or Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he knows some things, but he doesn't know everything. Only God knows everything. So we teach what we know. Okay, so if you have other information, then we'll receive it. We'll take care of that and accept it if it's okay. If it's lines up with the Bible, and there's ways to judge scriptures, that kind of thing, which we'll look at. So nobody knows entirely about the gifts or everything about the Spirit of God. We share what we know and teach the subject on what we know concerning God's will. And so we want to increase the value of his presence and what he wants to do among us. So 1 Corinthians 12:8 again says, for one to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So we're going to talk about this a little bit just to put it in order. So Paul's response to the church at Corinth, apparently he had the church had asked him questions concerning some things that was going on in their church or their church environment or environment there. Spiritual things was going on. They had some questions, so they wrote a letter to Paul, and Paul's response was put together in what we call scripture here. And there's a letter here. So it's concerning the operations of the Holy Spirit in this particular chapter. So he's talking about the operations of the Spirit. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, as I mentioned to you before, we see the word gifts. If you have a King James Bible, and I would, if you want to study the Bible, please get a King James Bible and get some other Bibles that you have as you can start looking at it, the way it was manufactured and the way it was put down so that you can have it. Sometimes when you look at the, something from your apparatus or what do you call that, your cell phone, whatever, you don't have the same thing. So the word gifts in the King James is italicized. It means that the translators added that in there. Why did they add it on there? Because thinking that it was going to help us. But if you understand and look at this, it's not really helping you. It actually hinders you because all of a sudden you're just focusing on gifts. Because the whole chapter doesn't talk just about gifts. It talks more about the whole thing about the body of Christ and the way the Holy Spirit works and operates in our lives. So we need to understand that. Now he said concerning gifts, brethren, the word spiritual is actually, the information is this, the word spiritual itself, it means this, the things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. The things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying, now concerning the operations and how the Holy Spirit operates in our churches, I want you to understand this. So, you know, we asked this question before, why isn't there more manifestations among us? Well, it's because we don't teach about it the way we should. The church at large, the whole church in the city, across the nation, are not teaching this the way they should be. Why is that? Well, one reason is that people have gotten off on tangents and maybe didn't have the information the way they should have and never done it the way they should have. Or they you know, maybe move away from it. I know in my denomination growing up, we never heard anything of it. We just read the scriptures and said, oh, well, yeah, Jesus knew about that leper or whatever. Praise God. He got healed, you know. So that's all we knew. And when I read the Bible, if I read the four Gospels, when we saw Jesus operating, we didn't even look at it as he was operating on the gifts. We never even knew that. I never knew that. I never knew that Jesus was directed to certain people to talk to them about gifts or healing or miracles. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit doing that. I didn't know if the Holy Spirit was doing it or he was doing it. Jesus said, everything I did, my Father tells me. And he only knew exactly what his Father told him about certain sick people. And he didn't know everything about every sick person wherever he was. He only was revealed as the Spirit of God told him. And so we have to read the scriptures with new eyes and see something. Yeah. So when you come up to somebody and he said, do you want to be made well? He already had a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. He already knew what was going to happen if that person responded accordingly, he's going to get healed. If the guy says, no, I'm too shy, I got my friend with me in the church today. Well, he's not going to get anything. He's more interested in wanting to impress his friends. So we have to follow the way God wants it to follow. What if the lady with the issue of blood, for instance, the Bible said she had two incredible obstacles for her healing. One is tradition. The second one was religious ideas, religion. Because, you know, she was a woman in that eastern part of the country. She shouldn't have been where she was because she was bleeding. And when you bleed like that, you shouldn't be in public or anywhere near public because you're considered to be unclean. And if they caught you that way, they'd kill you and stone you to death. So she took a chance. And secondly, she had to break through her religious mindset about her bleeding. She was unclean, but she wanted to get to Jesus. So some of us have to break from tradition, from our religious teaching of how we were brought up. And break from the mindset of what culture, our own culture says about us. A lot of us must do that if we're going to be free. And so we're comfortable sitting in our environment of where we came from. For instance, I came from a denomination. We didn't know these things. And when someone said to me, they prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I backed up immediately because I knew that guy was not a priest asking me that. He was just a layman like me. I didn't understand that we all could minister the Holy Ghost to anybody, any one of us here. I didn't know that. I was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. After 2 weeks, I started laying hands on other people, me. And they got filled with the Holy Spirit and had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. After 2 weeks of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I saw other people getting filled with the Holy Spirit just because I said, I'm going to follow what it says here in chapter 8. I'm going to follow what they said over here in chapter 10. Paul, those guys, or Peter, or those guys, they just laid hands on someone and just said, receive the Holy Ghost. And they started speaking in tongues. To my surprise, it worked. And so I said, whoa, this thing works. Wow. And so we're coming to realization that we can do this. And I think every one of us should be encouraged to pray for our friends, to receive healing, or to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or even to prophesy to them. Amen. And so we operate in prophecy. Every Sunday we operate in word of wisdom, word of knowledge. While I'm teaching, people are getting words of knowledge while I'm teaching. And I didn't have to say, hey, get up there, God's talking to you. And without even knowing it, people, they're just getting blessed. I mean, like the anointing on Sunday morning was like exceptional, right from the get-go. It's a breeding area for miracles. Because we want this. We're hungry for it. We need it because you need it. Some of people right here need this Holy Spirit, and you need this for your comfort. So God, Holy Spirit needs to show you things that the trouble you're having is going to be short. Yeah, you're going through some hard time, but he said, I'm going to be there. I'm your comforter. I'll never leave you. I'm going to be a comforter, but let's go through this together. So if you don't understand that, then you go off into unbelief and then just worry and then get into what the devil's stuff and area, and then it never comes to pass because we are discouraged to follow. And you know, so okay, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Evidently, they were being led by a wrong spirit. He said, wherefore, I give unto you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God. Like, you have to understand operations. Like, working of miracles is not a gift of the Spirit. It's an operation of the Spirit. And so those gifts are divided. And we have to see and understand, like, you can't just say, I'm going to just create a miracle right now. I'm going to just make sure that we have a miracle right now. And we can't do that unless the Holy Spirit manifests himself. Now, we can believe for a miracle if there's no Holy Spirit. If you believe and I believe, we can believe for a miracle. Everybody say, thank God. We can. Because the Bible said all things are possible to him who believeth. Not to him who has the Holy Spirit manifest. No. See, you can initiate your own healing like we prayed for some people that needed that. And so you can initiate that by your own faith. And that's why people are still waiting around for a miracle, because they're not acting on the word. They're not acting like it's so. So we have to begin to act on the Word of God. So let's be encouraged. So, but the same God which works all in all, but the manifestation, everybody say manifestation. So he's calling this work of the Spirit among us a manifestation, or he's calling the gifts of the Spirit or administrations and those things he's calling manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man or every person to profit withal. So it's going to be good, beneficial for us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith. This word faith in that verse of Scripture is not the faith that you got saved with, that you got born again. It's a different kind of faith. It's a gift of Spirit. It's a higher level of faith. It gives you, it's the gifts of Spirit that empowers you to believe God when you need to believe God for something. That if he allows you to do that. Say, you know, when someone is called to the ministry, he has to have, God has to drop a gift of faith in him about ministry because he couldn't operate in there. You don't become a ministry gift because you go to Bible school. You go to Bible school because you are a ministry gift. You want to learn how to operate better. Amen. So God has to drop that in you. Like for me, I had that experience. I'm sitting there. Holy Spirit comes in. I'm reading Smith Wigglesworth's book. I didn't realize what was going on for me. It took me a while to understand that because the Holy Spirit dropped it in me. And all of a sudden, wow, I could just do anything I want to do here. Not everything I want to do. It's my own thinking is saying that. But God says, no, you can't. You can do what I tell you to do. One time I'm singing. I told you this before. I'm singing. I never really sang much. I'm sitting in a church, and I said this story many times because I understand this about the anointing. When you got the anointing, you can do whatever God tells you to do. Amen. So I'm sitting there, and I said, I wish I could sing. The Holy Spirit said, lift your hand up. I lift my hand up. Lift your second hand up. Lift your two hands up. Close your eyes. Stand up. I said, stand up here. Everybody's sitting down. It was a Pentecostal church. Everybody sat down during service while the piano player played. I said, I'm not going to stand up. The Lord said, stand up. So I had my eyes closed and I stood up. I was not right in the front. I was about halfway in the service. It must be about 100 people in that church. And I got up and the song service was going and I started singing. And then I looked at my eyes and everybody's standing. Because when I stood, everybody stood. Somehow I released everybody to stand. So then I started singing and I'm belting it out, man. I mean, I was not in tune before. Suddenly I'm in tune. And it sounds so good, so wonderful. I said, wow, can I ever sing? And Holy Spirit said, no, it's me. I'm singing through you. So I know I can sing when the Spirit of God is on me. I mean, we can all start off in the natural and then wind up in the Spirit. So I understand that. And you can do it too. I remember one of our teachers at Rhema used to say, not everybody should record music, but everybody should sing. Because the Bible encourages us to all sing, right? We can all sing. So as we go on this teaching here, He talks about to another faith by the same Spirit. So faith, this word, the Amplified Bible says special faith. Everybody say special faith. So this is special. This is not your regular faith. This is special faith that God gives you if you have to believe for something. Like Daniel in the lion's den, he had to have special faith to believe that he could be in there and not be hurt. The Hebrew children, the three boys that were thrown into the fire, he said, I'm believing God no matter what. And my God's going to save me. It had to be faith to believe that, to receive that miracle. You had to believe that. So it took faith for them. Incredible things. The Bible, if you read Hebrews 11, they did incredible things because of this gift and just regular faith. It takes your normal faith to operate in the special faith. So it's all faith together. So, and it also says to another gifts of healing. So the original language says gifts of healings. Not gift of healing, but gifts of healing. Someone said as a commentary that some people seem to have success healing certain kinds of illnesses where someone else doesn't. Because somehow God uses them, sometimes maybe with cancer, sometimes maybe with ulcers, or maybe something with something else, because somehow that's how they operate. And this is a school of thought which we'll look at a little bit and understand a little bit more. And if you look at that in the scripture, you're going to see that. And I've known other ministers, worldwide ministers, who were used in the revival of healing, felt bad because they couldn't minister to certain people. And God would tell them that, I didn't give you that gift. But if you would believe, and they'd believe, all things are possible. Amen? And so thank God for that, that God wants to continually do these kind of things. So it says here, gifts of healings. But it says here, to another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one, in the self-same spirit, dividing to every man as he wills. Everybody say, as he wills. So all these manifestations, verse 7 and verse 11, all these manifestations, to one, to profit withal, all these given for us as he wills, not as we will. So all these manifestations don't happen because we will to have an operation of the Spirit, that we have an administration of the Spirit, that we have to have these happening. So we have to have the Holy Ghost working through us as he wills. So when does he want to do that? Listen to this, which is astounding. He wants to do it all the time. It's just that we have to be open and we have to learn how to cooperate with him. Amen. I can just see right now the anointing has just gone up another notch higher. Because it's amazing how, you know, when you have information, somehow, how many people understand we can have, the more we have knowledge, the more grace we can operate in. The more you understand God's word, the more peace you have about stuff. So the more you know God and what he will do in certain situations, you just relax. Because you know he's going to take care of you. Thank God. I like, you know, I think it's Isaiah 49. 25. God says, you know, even the captive of the Almighty will be delivered. Yes. He said, him that contends with me, I'll contend. No, him that contends with you, I'll contend with him. Yes. He says, your enemies will be my enemies. Yes. And listen to me, I'll fight your battles. That's amazing. Good scripture. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these work at one in the self-same spirit, divided to every man as he will. So there's two schools of thought. First, the first school of thought is that the Holy Spirit will operate through people differently in different ways. Yeah, and that's what people think. So we have to be open to it. According to this chapter, God does not want us to be ignorant or uninformed or uneducated about spiritual matters. He wants to move among his people. And the only way he can do that is through us getting the teaching of the word. Paul said through the Spirit, I would not have you to be ignorant. Brethren, that means the church. He also spoke about idols. Evidently, they had other spiritual activity among them because they were operating in spiritism or spiritual activity in worshiping idols, because they didn't understand. They didn't know if it was Holy Spirit or is it another spirit having an activity over here, because not everything that's supernatural is God. And so we have to have the discernment and understand from the scriptures to divide the word of God properly to understand, hey, that's not God. And all of us have on the inside of us the witness. When something's going on, you say, hey, that looks like spectacular, but this is not God. And so we would know that on the inside of us because we all have the Spirit. I was reading in Hebrews 8 last night, and one of my readings last night, Hebrews 8, says every one of us, that God would put his Spirit in us, that we will not ask everyone, is this God? Is this God? No, we will know ourselves. We will know God ourselves, all of us. Because that's the new covenant promise, that he will be in us. That we can tell, we can know. Thank God about that, right? And the Holy Spirit will always make Jesus Lord. He'll glorify Jesus, we'll always worship Jesus, not the person. Right? We have to take the attention off ourselves and say, you know, that's God that's doing that. And that's what they did in the Bible. So two major thoughts. They work differently with different people, with various people. Verses 47. All these gifts operate through us differently. Diversities of gifts, diversity of administration, diversities of operations. Number two, he speaks more about the moving of the Spirit among us, not just spiritual gifts in this chapter. So he was not only speaking about gifts alone, but he's speaking about administrations as well and operations. There are nine gifts of the Spirit, as we call them, or as denominations and people call them, nine gifts of the Spirit. How many gifts are there? Okay, so we also call them manifestations. I like calling them manifestations because that's how God operates through us. So it's not a gift per se that, you know, hey, I got this thing here in my pocket and it's a gift. I can take it wherever I want to go. If I want to take it over there, I'll take that gift over here and just pull it out anytime. See, I got this gift. I can go over here and put that in my pocket and pull it out anytime I want. Here's the gift. See, I got it. See, that's not how he's talking about here. See, these are what he's going to manifest himself. But they're a blessing to the church in the sense that they are gifts. Everything is everything. So we want to see this here. So there are nine gifts, or we say gifts, or major areas of manifestation. Number one, there's what we call the utterance gifts. Everybody say utterance gifts. So these gifts say something. The utterance gifts, they say something. What do they do? They say something. So they're, number one is prophecy. Prophecy is utterance in a known tongue. You have to know when to give that and how to give it. What if it is or if it's not? When you start giving prophecy with predictions, you're moving into another area of gifting as well. If you're predicting future, if you're knowing the past, it's another gift working along with that. So let's just say this because we understand this, that the gifts rarely work alone. You don't just have word of knowledge. You can have other things with it as well. So you can actually just give prophecy alone, though, without having to give other things. We're going to see this. So tongues and interpretation of tongues, number three. That's the utterance gifts. There's tongues are all the same, but difference in usage. You can have a gift of tongues when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first initial sign is speaking in tongues. You'll get tongues. Okay, so it'll come. It comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is how you communicate with God. This is how you get built up. This is how you know things. This is how you can interpret spiritual things because of tongues. Because you pray in tongues. You can't do that unless you have this gift. And you better get it tonight. Amen. And you can know, you interpret your own prayers, and God will talk to you more often. And you get more information. So interpretation of the tongues, it's not just a side issue whether I want it or not. No, you need this to survive yourself. You might not have anybody to interpret to you. You got to interpret yourself. Paul says, I wish you all have this. And he said, pray that you may interpret. We'll see this in the scripture. So the second group of, three areas, the power gifts. They're the scriptures that actually do something. Say the power gives. Do something. So when they're in operation, we go, ooh. We get all excited and there's goosebumps and everything. Ooh. You see a miracle, you go, ooh. Come on, you ever say, ooh. Yeah? See, that's what happens. You see healing with that, you go, ooh, yeah. See, and so it gets excited, right? But if somebody speaks in tongues, you look at them, And yet it's supernatural, right? And yet it's supernatural. And, you know, we always say this. I remember Buddy Bell teaching us when he came here. He said, you know, we talk about, when we talk about, we're going to have a prophet come, everybody gets all excited, ooh. Or, there's an apostle coming to our church, everybody gets, ooh. But in the same verse, the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:28, along on, it's inserted in there somewhere, is a gift called helps. Ministry of helps. We say, oh, a ministry of helps coming today. We don't, what's that? We don't think nothing of it. You see, we think little of certain things, and yet they're so important. Without ministry of helps, this church wouldn't happen right now. It's amazing. Lex, I came here today. This lady is cleaning up the children's area this morning, cleaning up in there and doing all kinds of stuff and walking in the other room, going in the other room, and there's somebody working on the finances. I come here, this is a place being cleaned up by two other people, special people. It's the ministry helps. These guys over here on the cameras and guys over there in the back, they're working on things. That's the ministry helps. Without those guys, we couldn't send out the information. Praise God. Amen? So, over here, special faith is number one. Secondly, gifts of healings. And thirdly, working of miracles. In that order of importance. And then we have the third area is revelation gifts, the gifts that reveal something. What do they do? Reveal something. The first one is word of wisdom. The second one is the word of knowledge, and then discerning of spirits. So we talked a little bit about that discerning of spirits last week because the Spirit of God empowered me to teach on that one because for some reason, I don't know why he did it. And so we're going to talk about the word of knowledge because that's, in order for us to have that, we won't understand the other ones, the word of wisdom. So the word of knowledge, we have to understand that. So it can be wrongly attributed, as I mentioned, to when somebody studies the Word of God, they have all this information. That's not what we're talking about. 2 Timothy 3:2-15, where study to shew thyself to prove a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? But this is good, though. Study is good. You need to study. So it's not personal experience and walking with God through a long life like Eli. Everybody say Eli. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, here's Eli's experience to a younger person, a younger prophet coming up. And this younger guy was put in the, given, Hannah had birth and she prayed and believed God and she had a little boy named Samuel. And he said, God, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him to you. And so he worked in the temple and the prophet had this young man. So here, this young man was working with the old man of God, prophet, Eli. And he's getting old in his age. And this young man, Samuel, never heard God's voice before. He didn't know God can do this. So here goes, he says, verse 3 or 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered. He said, here I am, and he ran to Eli. He ran unto Eli and said, here I am, for thou callest me? He said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went away, lay down, and the Lord called him again. Samuel. This is God calling him, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli, and he said, here I am, for didst thou call me? And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. And Samuel did not know yet the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and here I am, he said. Thou didst thou call me? And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down again, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou sayest, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Samuel went away, laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. So this older man had this experience. So he was just passing his information on to this young man. So that's profound experience of this old man giving to another man, young man. So, but this was not a manifestation of the Spirit upon the prophet Eli to young Samuel. This was just profound knowledge. Now, this Samuel was getting supernatural information. God was calling him. Sometimes we have to understand when God's talking to us, we have to see if God's, can he actually do that? Yeah, he can. So In Acts chapter 10, verse 9, and 9 to 19, you can just write the scriptures down, but I want to read one verse of scripture. Acts chapter 10, verse 19, Peter perceived knowledge, received knowledge that three men were coming to him, and these three men wanted him to go with him, accompany him to somewhere else, and God told him what was going to happen before those guys arrived at his house. So this here, the Bible says, while Peter thought on the visions, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men are seek thee. Arise, therefore, get down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. See, here we have a word of knowledge passed on to the man of God. He's saying, these guys are going to come and do this and that. I've had this happen in my own house where the Lord began to speak to me about something. And the Lord said, the Lord gave me that information for my wife so that my wife would become one with me to believe God for certain things. So the Lord said to me, tell your wife this is going to happen. I want you to tell exactly what's going to happen so that your wife will understand that I'm leading you. That happened a few times. So, I wasn't trying to show off. I just told my wife, honey, here's what the Lord said is going to happen tonight. She said, really? I said, yeah. Yeah. And so she said, okay. So we went, and it happened just exactly the way the Lord said. So why did the Lord say that to me? Because it became a blessing between me and her as a relationship as husband and wife, because now she believes that when I say God talked to me, now she knows. Can you see that? So when the Lord said to me, I want you to go to Tulsa, my wife said, okay. Why? Because we've done this before. And we've done that a number of times. We said, the Lord said to me, give $1,000. She said, okay. You sure now? Yeah? Well, yeah. Okay, write the check. So we write the check. Well, because we understand that, because God worked in this in our lives. So this is the way the Lord works. So the word of knowledge concerns three areas again. Number one, people, places, and things. Like for me, the Lord said, go to Tulsa. Go to Kenneth Hagin. Go right now. So he told me what to do. So this is the word of knowledge. I was praying like this in my study, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, go to Tulsa. I want you to sit under Kenneth Hagin. The same spirit I put on Kenneth Hagin, I'm going to put on you. That's what he said to me. Now, did he put everything in me? Yes, he did. Now, not everything's manifested. When is the operation of a prophet going to come? I don't know. Is it going to happen? Maybe not your time. I'm sure it's going to happen sometime. Lately, I've been getting these things in my spirit, and the devil's trying to come against me to stop me from doing what I'm supposed to do by distracting me from other things. And you guys need to pray for me to understand this. Amen. But he wants to stop what he wants to do in the city. The Lord had to get me balance as a man. And I know I've had lots of challenges this year, more than any other time in the last little while in my life. The Lord sent people to me to distract me, to take me out of my calling. But I said, no. I made a commitment. I said, God, I had to say this to myself and to God. I said, God, I made a commitment. No matter what happens, I follow you. I get on my knees in my room and say, God, I'm yours. I'm following you, whatever you want me to do. And I'm going to show you something, because people don't want to follow God because they say, look at who's not doing it. They're not doing it. No, you do it because God told you to do it. Amen. He didn't say, look at somebody else. If they're doing it, you do it. No, he said, you go to Faith City Church. You help Pastor Roma. You help in the serving in the ministry helps. He told you to do it. Amen. Just like when he told me to go to Long Lake with tears in my eyes, driving down the road when the snow is coming down and it's slippery. The Lord says, where's everybody? How come they don't come in? How come they don't come in? Where's my band? Where's my singers? Where's my health ministers? So I just went by myself until Pastor Ken, where is he? He started coming with me. He came with me for 5.5 years. Every Thursday for 5.5 years, we got in the car and we went. Snow, moose, whatever, dark, cold, we went. Why? Because God gave me a word. We built that church because God said to do it. We had a word from God to go. It was a supernatural word. And even when we saw moose, we said, praise God. Thank God he told me to go. So it's a word of knowledge. Now watch this. There are spiritual gifts in the Old Testament, just like there were spiritual gifts in the New Testament. Only in the Old Testament, they never had tongues and interpretation of tongues. The Holy Spirit and these gifts are only this. Dispensation, which is the year, this year right now, this time right now, which is the, the grace period. In 2 Kings 6, 9 to 12, the word of knowledge was given. Listen to this. This is going to help you. For warning. Okay, so the Holy Spirit will give you the gifts of the Spirit to operate in your life to warn you about how to behave or how to act when certain trouble is coming. Don't you think God knows everything? Yeah. You know what? Things shouldn't take as a surprise.
Amen.
Psalm 112, verse 7, and the several few scriptures there, that Bible says that the righteous will not be disturbed because of bad news. Because the Lord cares for him. So we have to understand this, that God's not going to tell you anything. He's not going to prepare you. If anything bad's going to happen, he's going to prepare you. And if he did happen, if anything bad thing happened to you, you're going to be able to stand because the grace of God in your life. No matter, nothing can shake you. Nothing. You can stand. There's a grace to stand and to follow God. See, you know, this is the stuff that the devil doesn't want you to have. We can just get here to get, you know, just worship God for a couple of minutes and go home. But God wants us to have the meat of the Word of God. The devil tried to stop me many, many times over the years. Tried to make me sick. When I first came to ministry, he made me sick. For 5 years, I was very sick. I was seeing specialists. I was flown to health sciences centers, trying to find what's wrong with my body. And I was going to MRIs before I knew what MRIs was 20 years ago. Scans. If I met with somebody, I'd be in bed all day after. I could not get up, and I had pain every single day for those years, on my one side. I could not. I was just continually in pain. I was afraid. The devil told me every day he's going to kill me. See, I'm just a young man. I didn't understand, but I was believing. Anybody normal would have been out of here. See, the reason why God gave me those special experiences right at the beginning of my ministry is because he wanted me to stand when those things were happening. He don't want no word of faith here. There's so much opposition to stop this move, to stop what God wants to do here in this church and this city. I was telling my friends, you know, I said, you know, the word of faith has finally made a headway a little bit after 25 years being in this city. Now, we're okay. But because people had to trust Roma Fisher and Faith City Church that we're not kooky, we want to do the same things that other churches want to do, and that is to lift Jesus up, help people. Blessed be a blessing. So, the man of God sent unto the king Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not this place. For thither the Syrians had come down, and the king of Israel sent a place to the man of God, told him, warned him of, saved him there, not only once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants. He said unto them, will you not show me which one of us is the king of Israel? One of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, the man in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. 2 Kings 6, 9 to 12. See, this word of knowledge was given not just to help one or two people, but a whole bunch of people. So the word of knowledge was given of a warning of an attack of the enemy. We need this gift in our lives, people. We need to have this gift operating in our lives to protect yourself, to pray. Like some people, like Ernie, he gets once in a while a burden from the Lord. He'll call me, then I have to stick with him to pray with something. So he operates in the prophetic prayer. And I have to stick with him sometimes, and sometimes I'm too tired. I say, you pray alone. Now, he'll get a burden. He'll get what they call a spirit of intercession on him. And he'll come and pray. My sister used to get that. She's not here, you know, for now, but the Lord wants to bring my sister back because she was using that area. And there's somebody else over here. I think it's Charlotte over here. The Lord uses her in that area. That should yield to the Spirit of God. Because there'll be no births in the kingdom of God. There'll be no vision births, people being saved, healings, unless we start praying this way, where the Spirit of God will lead you to pray in tongues in a deeper level. We can say, God, save him, help somebody, help him over there. It's going to take more than that kind of prayer to help some people. Some people will never get healed unless you pray a certain way. So the last one I want to give you is 1 Kings 19, 1-4. Ahab told Jezebel that Elijah had done and how he had... the word of wisdom was given for this reason in this situation. The word of knowledge was given for comfort a discouraged servant. So how many of you need a word sometimes to comfort you when you're discouraged? We need that. We need this gift in the church. We need somebody who can operate that gift and jump up. There's somebody we can trust and believe and look up to that has that gift. Come on up here and give that word. And they give up, and all of a sudden they're giving a word of encouragement to the church. And it'll be a blessing to the body of Christ. And Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done, because you remember he slain the prophets, right? And now with all he had slain all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah. What did he do? He sent a message to Elijah. You know, the devil, when you do something, he'll always send a message to you to discourage you. Especially if it's really going to impact the church. Saying, let the gods do to me and even more also if I make thy life as the life of one of them tomorrow about this time. And when he saw, he arose and went for his life. In other words, he felt that he had to leave town. Okay, that was a joke. Sorry. And he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. How many people have been there and said, oh, Lord, I want to die. No, you don't want to die. You're just scared. You're discouraged. He said that I might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I'm not better than all my fathers. Verse 13. And so he rose, and Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and he stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, saying, What dost thou here, Elijah? Or, what are you doing here, Elijah? That's what he's saying there. And he said, I have been very zealous, Lord, of the host, because the children of Israel have forsaken their covenant. Everybody has said that. Lord, Lord, I don't want to work in the ministry. Helps. Everybody, no one's here. I'm just me alone working in this little old whatever. Where's all the workers? Everybody's talked this way. Everyone said, where's everybody? Why isn't everybody coming on Wednesday night to serve? This is awesome, man. Why do I have to come? Why do I have to play the music? Why do I have to clean? Because God's called you to do it. If you believe God called you to do it, then you do it, because the reward will be there for you. He says, I've been very zealous. He said, children of Israel have forsaken that covenant, thrown down that altars. How many of you have thrown down the altars? You're not even, you know. And slain their prophets with the sword. Even I, Lord, even all I am left, I. They seek my life, take it away. You know, he got that big problem with me, you know. Verse 18, yet the Lord talked to him, the Lord saying, yet I have left me 7,000 Israel, all knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. He said, told Israel, listen, you're not alone in this thing. You're not the only one. There's other people around you. Next time you go through the babyhood of crying your eyes out and saying, I'm the only one. Why do I have to do this? Well, there's every one of us, and there's everybody else around there that's doing the same thing somewhere. So this guy is discouraged. So he was encouraged because he was so discouraged as a man of God. This person, you know, he's serving God. Now they're coming to get me. Because I'm serving God. How come I get this persecution? How come the devil's after me? You know? So he get discouraged. So we can see the devil working here. So the word of knowledge, you know, exposes also lies, frauds, misuse in ministry. The word of knowledge can do that. This is actually the last one. 2 Kings 5, 17 to 20. And he said unto them, went not my heart went with thee? When the man turned again for his chariot to meet thee, this is verse 26, 27. The man turned again his chariot to meet thee. Is it time to receive money or receive garments and olive oils, vineyards, sheep, oxen, maidservants, and maidservants? The leprosy that Naaman shall, therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and thy seed forever. And he went out of the presence of the Lord as white as snow. Now, this last verse of scripture had to do with this young man. This guy was working in the ministry house with this guy, Elisha, and Gehazi. His name is Gehazi. He was a Cree man. OG Cree, I think he might have been. I don't know. That's how they are, those OG Crees. Anyway, he's with the man of God every day. The prophet, you know, the prophet knows things, you know. But he understood, this Gehazi knows. He got smart after working with this man of God because he knew the prophet doesn't know everything. He only knows what the whole Lord reveals. So after Naaman was a leper, and he had a little servant, maidservant, and he said, you know, I wish you would go find the prophet in my homeland, Israel. And he's got a healing ministry. If you go to him, he'll be healed. So that's how he got to this prophet's house. So that happened. Let's skip over a little bit. And so the prophet says, go jump in a lake. Do it seven times. I said, go jump in a lake seven times, and you'll come back. You'll be healed. So he got mad, but the servant said, hey, don't do that. Listen to the man of God. So he went, and he came out white as snow. And he felt so good. The man was loaded with blessings. He said, listen, prophet, I want to bless you. I want to give you some new clothing, buy you some money, and so forth and so on. I want to give you all this. The man of God said, nope, it's not time to receive this money. Listen, for some reason, he thought this is not a good time to do that. Because how many people know that sometimes people want to buy their blessing? He said, nope, not time to do that. And I could tell you some other things about what the Lord did to me. He showed me really strong not to do stuff like that, not to use gifts of the Spirit to get money from people. Never. You can't never do that. So anyway, what was it? Oh, he said that the man of God was so healed, or the Syrian officer, and he wanted to bless, so he said no. So Gehazi, his worker, saw this happen, transaction, so the man, the guy, captain, left. And he thought, hey, I could use some money. I could use some extra suits for Sunday. A special things coming up. So he ran after them right after. And he said, hey, listen, you know, my master, a couple of young ministers came into town. They need some clothing. They need some extra money. The guy was so happy. He said, yeah, sure, yeah. So he gave him, here's some garments. Here's some suits. Here, what do you want, double-breasted, single-breasted? Here it is. Take it. Here's some money, you know, take a bag with you, go ahead, go. And he went, and he hid the money, and he went back to the ministry where his master was. And he's hiding, you know, wiped off his brow, went in there, went to see, talked to his master. He said, where'd you go? He said, nowhere. And the prophet said, hey, my spirit went with you. It's not time to collect money and all that. And he said, you know what happened? That guy's healing, that was healed, his leprosy, it's now come upon you. You'll be a leper for the rest of your life. And he did. You know, expose that. So, listen. Let's go ahead and pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit and manifestation. So, we want to have this in our lives. We want to have the manifestations of our lives. So, thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit. Would you please pray in the Holy Ghost for at least 30 seconds or so? Oh, blessed be God. Pray in the Holy Ghost for 30 seconds or so. Father, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, Ramaka Santa Maka Sitele Mikiso Sokora Ma Santa. Oh, Ramaka Sondora Shite Kisonda Mokur Shite Malamaka Santa. Oh, Ramaka Samakarabo Sokoro Boshite Kinamanana Santa Karamada. Samako Sima Lamaka Sondra Miki. Simiki sokola makoso makala makasandara tisiti di. Ora makasolo bakishi tili mikiri masol dera bakaskasata. I heard the Lord say to my spirit, don't you worry. I know all about you. Nothing horrible or bad will ever happen to you unless I show you some things. To avoid it, to get out of it, and to show you how to believe supernaturally to come out of impossible situations. If you would just obey my spirit and begin to fellowship with him and get to know his voice through prayer, spending time in my presence and in my word, and practice the presence of God. Practice hearing me in little matters. And slowly you will discern the things that matter to you most in life. If you just yield to my spirit, I will never leave you comfortless. I will always come to you. Nothing will hurt you, because I said in my word, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord. That's what he said. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank him for that word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody's getting warm right now. Praise God. Somebody is getting warm right now. The word blessed you in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I want to know who had that real unction on the inside of them that just spoke to them. Get up here real quickly. Just get up here real quickly. I want to just begin to just minister to you. Come on. All those people who got that worm inside you, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Stand right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to know that God said that. This is the Lord speaking. God's word. We had the word spoken to us. Now he's confirmed it. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody lift your hands and bless God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing, Lord. Oh.